May it please this court, my name is Annie Kostanek, and along with co-counsel from the National Immigrant Justice Center, I represent the petitioner, Ms. Rumi Joseph. The petitioner appeals the BIA's September 2006 order denying her motion to reopen her asylum proceedings. Her appeal presents two issues. The first is whether the BIA abused its discretion in misunderstanding the claims presented in that motion and in failing to explain its reasoning, an error that the government actually concedes in its response brief. The second is whether the petitioner has established changed country circumstances arising in the country of nationality under the applicable regulation. The petitioner asserts that, or submits that the answer to both of these questions is yes.
Did she actually argue to the BIA that her marriage and divorce constituted a changed circumstance, or was her primary focus her family's relocation and the insistence of the family that she enter an arranged marriage?
Your Honor, she did make the argument that the forced marriage threat that she received in late 2005 was a changed circumstance. That argument can be found on pages 27, 32, 46, and 48 of
right.
The separate appendix.
So to the BIA, I know what you argued
in
to
the
us.
No, that's in the separate appendix. That's in the application for asylum and the motion to reopen, which was presented to the BIA, yes, below. And that's in the separate appendix.
So I was confused about this, too, because I was concerned about whether there's been a shift in focus from an idea that she was displeasing her family through the marriage in the United States, which is certainly what the BIA was understanding. Now, if one were to read your brief, it's very clear that it's the idea of a forced marriage, whether a bigamous marriage or whether an individual marriage or whatever, but a forced marriage in Pakistan that you're focusing on. But if this was never clearly presented to the BIA, then you've got a serious exhaustion problem.
Your Honor, I do believe that in the motion to reopen below, there was discussion of other circumstances, including some of her activities in the United States. But the issue of the forced marriage was clearly presented. It's on in the separate appendix, which presents the motion to reopen to the BIA, and there's an accompanying application for asylum with that motion. She discusses it on two different pages of the motion to reopen and then summarizes her conversations in late 2005 with her fathers and her brothers, in which they told her that if she did not return to Pakistan, that they had found her a husband, that she was required to return to Pakistan to marry that husband, that she would be disowned if she did not comply, and that she feared abuse at the hands of her brothers if she did not comply with that demand.
Now, is there anything in this record that would suggest that the family doesn't regard the U.S. marriage as even valid? Because your brief indicates that she's now divorced, but I couldn't find anything that
revealed that.
The
record is unclear about that, Your Honor. I'm not sure that she's divorced. She has separated from her husband, but I was unable to find anything in the record evidencing her actual divorce.
Right, which is why I'm asking the question whether from, say, a Pakistani point of view, the U.S. marriage is functionally a nullity anyway, so that they would say, We, the family, still have the right to insist on your marrying this other man.
I would say that that's probably true, that in their mind she was not supposed to marry in the first place, and that if returned to Pakistan, yes, she would be forced to marry a man that they had chosen, which would be considered a valid marriage under their cultural norms.
And why is this changed country circumstances as opposed to changed personal circumstances?
Mm-hmm. Well, the statute uses the phrase changed country conditions. The regulation reasonably interprets that ambiguous phrase as requiring changed circumstances arising in the country of nationality. To my knowledge, the government has never argued that the regulation is an arbitrary or capricious interpretation of the statutory text, and most notably, they don't make that argument in the present case. So,
but you know, every change in somebody's family situation, though, in another country can't. You're not arguing that all of those are changed country conditions,
are the you? Petitioner's argument is that if a change comports with the plain text of the regulation, which requires three things, a change in circumstances, that change arise in the country of origin, so that the threat has its origin in the country of nationality, and that it materially affects eligibility for asylum, then yes, that would warrant a motion to reopen.
But this comports with why this. Don't you need some sort of link to the state, if you will, some kind of state change in condition, a different government's in place or the police are running rampant or something.
Well, Your Honor, a government sanction of the abuse would be a question under the actual asylum eligibility question, which is not a question that this court need address when analyzing a motion to reopen. That's an eligibility question on the merits of the case, which is not before this court today.
But were there any changes at all in the actual country conditions in Pakistan between your original hearing and your motion to reopen?
No, Your Honor, and the regulation does not require as such. The regulation, by its plain text, only requires that the change arise in the country of nationality. And this court's case law comports with that interpretation of the regulation that, for example, in this court's most recent case law on the question of changed circumstances, which is Zhao, and then Ying, which was issued after briefing in this case concluded, those were cases where a Chinese alien had a child in the United States, and this court emphasized the location of that change, that it was a personal circumstance arising in the United States. And in Yang, this court actually distinguished that from a circumstance where, for example, the petitioner would have engaged in opposition to family planning in China. It had emphasized that that would present a much different question. That, in fact, is the question in this case.
I thought where you were arguing. When did the family go back? The family was removed.
They returned in two different sets. So the father and the some of the brothers returned, I think it was in 2000,
yeah,
and then
earlier.
The remainder of the family returned in 2005. And so the threats came after they had returned to Pakistan.
So your argument is, or is it, that if the family were still in the United States, there wouldn't be changed circumstances?
That's
in
correct.
Pakistan?
That would be very similar to this court's case, the court's decision in Zhao, where, yes, the change in circumstances arose in the United States, and in Yang and many of the other family planning decisions by other circuits, that where it arises in the United States, it clearly does not fall within the plain language of the regulation. I must emphasize, though, that this argument was clearly presented to the BIA, and the BIA didn't even mention the phrase forced marriage. It never discussed these conversations with her family or the threats that were made. And this court's case law pretty clearly requires that the BIA consider and make clear that it understood a claim, and in the absence of making that clear to this court, that remand would be required under this court's precedence. And the government does not respond to that claim in its response brief. If there are no further questions, I would like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Smith.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Back again, huh?
I'm sorry?
Back again.
Yes, I'm back again. Your Honor,
is this the only circuit you come to?
It does appear that way. No, actually, I was in the Sixth Circuit just last week, so not always, but
are they nicer?
I'd rather not say. Your Honor, in this case, petitioner is seeking reopening of her proceedings to reapply for withholding of removal based on difficulties she had with her family because of her marriage in the United States without permission.
But I think you're already misconstruing. I mean, we at least should confront her claim as she's presenting it. And as she's presenting it, and I looked at the record, at least the parts of it that were available to me, and she did say forced marriage in Pakistan. She did say that the family has moved back to Pakistan. So I'm not sure that the marriage here is relevant at all to the claim that she's making. Maybe that added bad blood or something between her and her family. So I'm concerned about at least honestly confronting what kind of claim she's making, whether or not that counts as a changed country condition, whether or not it was fully enough presented to the board are questions that I think are certainly legitimately on the table. But she's not saying anything about her marriage in the United States.
My understanding is that she's alleging that she'll be subject to a forced marriage and possible abuse or punishment
in
from
Pakistan,
her family.
That's correct.
In Pakistan,
up to and including an honor killing.
Because she disobeyed her family.
No, because she has to marry who the family chooses in Pakistan, and if she in any way goes against them, they'll abuse or worse.
I believe her claim was that it was because of what happened in the United States.
No, didn't the BIA just miss her argument that her changed circumstances were the family's relocation to Pakistan after her hearing.
Those are circumstances, changed circumstances for her, not changed country conditions. There's a difference.
Well, the condition in the country has changed, right, because the family's back there.
Petitioner actually, in her motion to reopen, she conceded that she was not arguing that conditions in Pakistan have changed.
Now, look, at her hearing, they weren't there. Isn't the risk that she faces in Pakistan materially different now that her family is there to enforce the threat of the arranged marriage? I mean, why shouldn't we remand to the BIA to allow them to be the ones to determine in the first instance whether that constitutes changed circumstances?
Well, the board...
And while you answer that, I just want to say, in the separate appendix that the petitioner has filed on the application for asylum and for withholding of removal form, this is at page SA-45, or it's also, it looks like it's Bates numbered 612. It says, "Do you fear harm or mistreatment if you return to your home country?" And she writes, "I fear returning to my country because my family may find me and force me into an arranged marriage, although I am already married." And then she goes on and says some other things. So it's very hard to read that sentence as something about her, you know, something that's going to happen to her in the United States. It's the forced marriage in Pakistan.
Well, our argument is that it's what her she's alleging consequences in Pakistan, future persecution.
No, she's right. She's alleging that she may die in Pakistan with the police standing off,
but
not
the question,
caring because they follow Sharia law. And my family may find me and force me into an arranged marriage. Where does the board even use those words?
Well, it says that she, I have to go back to the board decision, but she says, interpreting the motion most generously, et cetera, she alleges problems she will now face for violating cultural norms by marrying without family approval.
And that's in the United States. That's not anything about a forced marriage in Pakistan.
My understanding is that that's what she's alleging because she disobeyed her family.
Why do you read it that way?
Because that's what she alleged in her motion to reopen.
I just read you what she said in her motion to reopen. That's not what you are characterizing it in a way that doesn't sit well with the words.
She's alleging changed circumstances to her. Her family has...
Because her family is back in Pakistan now. Maybe it used to be the case that she could have been returned to Pakistan without danger or fear. And it now is the case that if she's returned to Pakistan, she perhaps might be killed. And that's why Pakistan has changed for her.
Because her family is there. Is that what
the
court is suggesting?
And the police don't... I mean, I do think eventually there has to be a state link, but her allegations are that the police do not intervene in these family punishments for violation of these norms.
Well, I think the issue then is whether or not, and of course, the court should decide, then does that constitute change country conditions or change circumstances for the applicant?
I said, I think that's a legitimate...
Our argument is that that's a distinction.
Why can't it be both?
Because,
it's her. She's the one that'll be killed, of course, or...
She alleges,
God only knows what. And if she is sent back to this particular country. I mean, is there any case law that would foreclose her claim that her circumstances changed when her family arrived in Pakistan and located this potential husband for her, even though she's married?
Well, I'm not aware of any case law in this circuit or any other circuit with similar facts. I think the court should consider this court's decision in Zhao, where the alien in that case could have made the same argument. The changed circumstances occurred because they had children in the United States, but they alleged persecution in China because the authorities who were in China would persecute them. Analogously, petitioner argues her family is in Pakistan, will punish her.
But nothing was going to happen. The difference between the Zhao case, though, is that she had the baby here in that case.
Right.
And that was important to the claim, whereas her marriage, this petitioner's marriage here in the United States, is not important to her claim that she may be forced to marry a different man in Pakistan. there's an event that's going to happen in Pakistan that she doesn't want. No event. There were consequences, perhaps, in the others, but no event that the person was trying to avoid.
Respectfully, Your Honor, in Zhao, the event, there would have been an event alleged as well, the event being forced sterilization or punishment by authorities. So you would still have, I really feel that this Zhao case is analogous to this instant decision. Facts are different.
That's what the government has argued, but I'm just not sure. I think the sterilization, you know, heaven knows how many people we've sent back to China for that fate. It's a terrible thought, in fact, but nonetheless.
But we feel it's analogous, and the court should consider that decision in making its determination here. Okay. I don't think I have anything else to add. Thank you.
Your Honors, notably absent from the government's response is any justification for the BIA's failure to address the forced marriage claim. The government argues that the forced marriage claim was linked to her defiance of her family in the United States, but it's important to remember that the BIA never addressed that link. There were no findings made on any link between forced marriage and the underlying conduct in the United States. And were this court to find that matter significant, the proper course of action would have been to remand to the BIA. The Chenery Doctrine prevents the government from defending the BIA's decision on that ground without the BIA having addressed it. The claims were very clearly made in her motion to reopen. In addition to the language that you cite from the separate appendix, on page 48 of the separate appendix, there's a separate claim made that she would be forced to marry. It says, "My family now may find me and force me into an arranged marriage. I have a history of abuse with my family." The history of abuse, including her defiance, was used as evidence that she would be subject to a well-founded fear of persecution when returned, not that there was a causation or a link between the two. Further, the government's position that personal circumstances never qualify as a changed condition arising in the country of nationality is simply not compatible with this court's case law. The difference between Zhao and this case is in Zhao, the threat originated in the United States. Even though the harm would occur in China, the original threat was because of a decision made here. In the present case, her family was deported to Pakistan. Once in Pakistan, they decided to hatch a plan to have her marry a Pakistani man. She learned of her fate via an international phone call from Pakistan, and all of these facts about the threat originating in Pakistan are in addition to the fact that the harm that she faces actually will be in Pakistan. I think a good way to look at this case is imagine that an individual immigrated to the United States and after being here found out that the leader of their country had called for their assassination or had issued a fatwa. In that situation, I don't think anyone would argue that merely because they personally or individually were affected by the threat that was not a changed circumstance arising in the country of nationality. The same is here true too. Even though country conditions generally have not changed, that is not required by the regulation. As a result, if there are no further questions, we urge this court to reverse and remand the decision of the BIA.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks to Mr. Smith, Ms. Kostanek. The case will be taken under advisement.